The Brad Sesmat Show, broadcasting live.
Good Monday. Thanks for being with us. We will have John Wilner, Wilner Hotline, on the college scene with the NFL draft this Thursday. John will have his thoughts on the players coming into the draft. Also, it is a busy news cycle. As we do with John, we'd like to get in the weeds on the college football front. We are pro, we're college, we're high school. We've been doing this since 2011. And a lot of times I like to go down the college path. College doesn't get as much attention. You can go get 20 talking heads on who should take who in the NFL draft, and all this college stuff is not even being talked about. And I kind of like going down that path. We will talk draft with the draft Nick, Daniel Rios. Daniel's going to be with me this coming Thursday night, along with Brian Urlacher. We're going to be with the Hall of Famer out at Harrah's, and very much Harrah's Auction. Very much looking forward to that. And Daniel, the draft Nick, follows this stuff inside and out. Opening comments are brought to you by Desert Financial Credit Union. Desert Financial Credit Union, taking care of you, taking care of your business through the years. We appreciate Jeff Mishi, Desert Financial, and their support. I had a very good Easter. I hope you did as well, whatever your faith may be. If you are of the Catholic persuasion, condolences on the Pope passing. I was in full-on grandpa duty for the first time yesterday. This part of my life happened 2 months ago. This little dude he's strong. Grabs onto his finger and won't let go. He's got a great little laugh. He's got a nice loud cry. I mean, it's what it is. So that was fun. I spent most of the day on the Diamondbacks game because it took most of the day to play the game. And then they had the crazy game on Friday. It was not a great weekend for the Hometown Nine. It wasn't, but you know, you go on the road trip and you finish it 4-2 and you come home, you have an off day today, and then Tampa Bay rolls in. Tampa Bay and Atlanta at home this week. Probably going to make it down there for the Atlanta, one of the Atlanta games. Beyond that, it is draft time. So the NFL draft this year, the Cardinals pick 16th. They have six picks. Mock drafts are something to do to pass time. I get it. Everybody's got a mock draft, and it's fine. When I see mock drafts that have the Arizona Cardinals taking a wide receiver, I have to say to myself, why would they do that? Why for the second year in a row would they do that? And then it's, no, they're actually making progress. Instead of picking third or picking fourth, they've actually now gone all the way to the middle of the draft. So some upward trajectory. But it just feels like with who they've signed in free agency and where the organization is with their quarterback, like I think signing Calais Campbell is brilliant. I don't anticipate him having gas in the tank where he's out there for a ton of plays. But Calais' impact off the field, pretty clear that the Monty Austin Fort and Jonathan Gannon crew iteration is very much of the opinion we want good guys. We want good guys. Yes, there's going to be problems. Yes, there's going to be issues, but we need to have some locker room leaders. And we're going to go sign guys to big contracts, and we're going to make sure that those guys that have produced and have handled their business the right way, James Conner, Buda Baker, Trey McBride, that we have a locker room that is full of guys that have leadership qualities. Calais Campbell would, again, be one of those. And I'm leaving some out. But from my view, taking a wide receiver makes zero sense. I think this is one of those drafts where I'd be just about fine of them trading back if it is, look, we really want to go get more depth on our offensive line. We'll find a starter, but we don't need them. Because I only have six picks this year. And Monty has shown the ability, the smart ability to trade back, get extra picks. That's what you do. If you're the teams that go out like Seattle last year, just hit it on the draft, one after the next after the next. I think the quarterbacks, like the NFL released the list of who they've invited to the draft in Green Bay. And they invited Jalen Milroe. And I'm going to talk to Draft Nick about this coming up in about 20 minutes. Like that makes zero sense to me. like what would make Jalen Milroe be a first round pick? It's got to be that we need somebody who's going to be there on day two. Or it's just there's so much lying that's going on, which is happening this time of year. I sat through the Cardinals. I didn't bother to go because I've been to enough of these on draft day where they don't say anything. There's nothing to be said. And whatever they say, it doesn't mean they're going to take that. This is the lying season. You have to accept that. If somebody says, if Shedeur Sanders is sitting there and we want him, would you take Shedeur Sanders? Well, we would take any quarterback. We love all the quarterbacks. Be the full avoid thing. If you're like the Raiders and you're looking at Genty and you need a running back from Boise State, is this a deep enough draft? Because it certainly reads and sounds like that you could just trade out of that pick, trade back down and get a running back and still feel very good about it. You don't have to stay with the high pick. This strategy of staying with the high pick is the wrong way to go. You're only adding one player. If you're picking that high, it means your team stinks. So the Cardinals are picking 16. It means their team is mediocre. They still need some players. They need some players at linebacker. They need some players on the line. You never have enough talent on the line. Take a wide receiver, that'd be crazy. Of course, in my world, it'd be kind of fun if they took a quarterback, but that's just me. The local angles, so Benjamin Morrison from Brophy Prep and Notre Dame is working out today. Jordan Hamm from our team will be there for that. That workout's over at Brophy. Tyler Shuck, I've been in constant contact with Tyler. We've had him on the show. He's going to be here on draft night. Draft night, we're going to be out at Harrah's Auction. So if you want to come out there and see what we're doing, we have all sorts of stuff to give away. I got like a Patrick Mahomes signed helmet to give away. I've got Josh Allen stuff. I've got Tom Brady stuff. I've got Rob Gronkowski stuff. I'll give you the whole list. I'll give you the whole list on Thursday's show when we get together. The basketball playoff side, it's early. It's early. The NBA playoffs are much better and more fun to watch than regular season basketball by far. By far, I've said it. But just because Oklahoma City wins by 51 over Memphis, does it mean it's going to be a clean sweep? Well, in that case, you know what? It might mean that. What was the other one that was... It wasn't, Boston. Yeah, Boston can blow out Orlando. But Cleveland playing as well as they did, and Donovan Mitchell coming off his injury playing well. The big story in the sports news cycle as we're sitting here is that Cooper Flagg from Duke announced that he is turning pro. He is turning pro, and he's either going to end up in Washington or Utah, from my view. Why? Because they have the most chances with the lottery. But, you know, Cooper Flagg is that one of those LeBron-type players once in a lifetime that comes along. And there's some other things going on, but I want to get into Wilner and I want to get to Daniel Rios, so we will do that. John Wilner, Wilner Hotline, on the NFL draft, UCLA adding a quarterback, news and notes. We're going to get in the weeds, I think, with John today, as we like to do on college sports. And then Daniel the Draftnik. I'm Brad Sussmat. And here he is, John Wilner, Wilner Hotline. John knows all, tells all. You can find Wilner Hotline on the site, of course, and you can follow John on Wilner Hotline or at Wilner Hotline on X and other platforms. He does a Wilner Canzano podcast on a weekly basis as well. He's all over the place. All right. It is NFL draft week. There's some news going on out there, it sounds like, with Pac-12 media, CFP, or some talking points, some things happening, and then UCLA lands the quarterback. It's up to you. Where do you want to go first?
Oof. Well, I think the NFL draft's probably the biggest story of the week as of now, but there could be news on several fronts with college football, so we should probably try to touch on all of it. But, you know, the draft is always a huge, huge deal, and there's some quarterbacks at the top of the draft, and I think it's going to be fun Thursday.
I'm looking forward to why would Jalen Milroe be invited to the NFL draft would be one question on my mind, because they only invite 18 players.
Yep.
And then Tyler Shuck is going to be out here in Phoenix for the draft, and Cleveland is sitting there with the valuable number 33 pick first pick of day two.
Yes.
You know, I'm looking at those two quarterbacks and saying, where does Shadir go? Does Shadir drop? I just think there's a lot of lying going on right now, John. I think if we gave truth serum, we'd get a lot of Pinocchios out there this week.
We would. You know, Tyler Shuck, it feels like he should be ready for AARP, you know? He played for Oregon in the COVID season. Yep. And since then, he's been at Texas Tech and Louisville. But, you know, the guy can play, and I think he's got a chance to, you know, be drafted far above where most people think he would go. He can really throw the ball. I also like Jackson Dart. I think you could make the case that Shuck and Dart, who started at USC and then was at Mississippi, are better prospects than certainly Shadur and maybe even Cam Ward as well. It's going to be interesting. It's such a hard position to evaluate. Every year we go through this with guys that end up getting picked higher than they should, and then guys that get overlooked and turn out to be stars. Brock Purdy, obviously, you know, top of that list. I don't know about Shadur. I think that he brings a lot of baggage, including the potential for his father's name to be tossed around. Like, what if Seattle picks Shadur Sanders and they have a bad year under McDonald, right? There's going to be speculation that Dion will be the next Seahawks coach. Sure. So there's a lot of intrigue this year. And I think that you're right, Cleveland, with that spot, a lot of leverage there.
You know, Jackson Dart, if we were to play the game of how many schools did this player go to? So, like, you nailed Chuck. I think Dart, didn't Dart go to, is it Utah or BYU for a little bit, John? Am I thinking of somebody else?
I think you might be thinking about Keaton Slovis, who was also
USC. Yeah.
And I think he's a Phoenix guy as well, right?
Yeah, you're right. Yeah. You're right.
So, but they all, look, Ward played for Incarnate Word, Washington State, Miami. Shadur was at Jackson State and Colorado, Dart, USC, Mississippi, Shuck, Oregon, Texas Tech, Louisville. I mean, that's the way of the world right now. It's going to be a long time before we see a quarterback picked in the first round of the draft who's been at one school for 4 or 5 years.
Okay, I have to tell you, when I saw that UCLA married up with a former Tennessee quarterback, and the first thing on the social was blessed, honored, and amazed, like, I can't handle this.
Yeah.
What do you think out of UCLA getting the quarterback?
Well, for your audience, it's Nico Iamalieva is the pronunciation. I worked on that just for our little conversation.
Hey.
He and his father and his representatives completely overplayed their hand, right? He was going to get 2.4 from Tennessee this coming season. They tried to get 4. Tennessee said, you know, forget it. Smart of the Vols, I think, to keep the culture in their locker room secure. I think it's a high reward, low risk opportunity for UCLA because the Bruins are irrelevant. They've been a mediocre program. They were 5-7 last year. They got no reason not to take a chance on this kid because he's got NFL talent. If he doesn't turn him around, you know, what have you lost? Not a whole lot. And I don't think he's going to get anywhere close to what he was asking. Word is he's going to get in the 1.5 to 2 million range. When you add in cost of living in LA, when you add in the fact Tennessee has no state taxes, he's coming out way behind on this deal, right? Like his dad bought stock on October 27th, 1929. So I would think that the Bruins should be pretty happy with the talent they acquired at the price that they got him.
But John, I guess it's just a given in this day and age. There's the exception. Sam Leavitt is staying here at Arizona State. Noah Fifita is at USC.
For now.
Right. I understand. But don't you think that the back room, if they misplay this so badly with Tennessee, it's, oh, we'll go to UCLA. It doesn't really matter what we're going to get because you're going to go ball out. And when you ball out, we'll go back on the market and we'll make up for it. I think that's how these guys are playing at this day and age, which isn't smart, in my opinion.
It's not smart, but they are also in a much more tenuous situation. I mean, Tennessee could have been a playoff team. Josh Heupel's a really good coach. Then you're going to UCLA. You don't have a ton of talent around you. It's not a program with a winning culture. You've got a second-year coach who really has a lot to learn. And you've got a rookie offensive coordinator, right? UCLA hired Tino Sunseri from Indiana to run their offense and replace Eric Bieniemy. Sunseri has never been a primary offensive coordinator. So he's learning a new playbook. He's got new teammates. He's got a rookie offensive coordinator, a second-year coach, mediocre surrounding talent, a tough schedule. He's not setting himself up for a season that he could then go out and command $3 or $4 million on the market. I think he would have been better off staying at Tennessee. And actually, if they were smart, they would have kind of tried to get this done at Tennessee quietly over the winter, you know, get him another $1 million quietly over the winter, and then everything is calm for the spring.
We don't know if Tennessee's playing UCLA. That would be fun.
No, they're not. No, they're not.
Yeah, so I just love those.
UCLA does open against Utah, and that is that game, which was interesting unto itself, now is going to be a high value game with the Big Ten network partners. So, you know, he certainly adds star power to the Big Ten lineup of quarterbacks.
John Wilner with us for a couple of minutes. Let's go through the news stuff. What's coming up? You kind of hinted at it.
Yeah, so a lot of things coming up in the next week, 2 weeks. First of all, and this is not necessarily an order of significance, but Pac-12 is getting close to a media rights deal, both for the 2025 season for Oregon State and Washington State, but also for the longer term starting in 2026 when they have the rebuilt conference. I would expect those deals, you know, next couple weeks. The House settlement, this giant lawsuit that everybody in college sports is waiting for the judge to approve the settlement, that could happen in the next week. Everybody thinks she's going to approve. If she doesn't, it's going to be complete chaos. That's a huge deal. Then the college football playoff management committee is meeting this week, their annual spring meetings. I don't know that they're going to come up with a official decision, but I think they're going to move heavily towards a straight seeding format for next season. So, you know, the committee will rank the teams 1 through 12, and that's how they're going to be seeded. So ASU won't be, what, the third or fourth seed if right. they're the 12th ranked team. They would be the 12th seed. And I think a lot of people want that change. That could happen this week. So, yeah, a lot of news going on in college sports over and above the draft, which should be a ton of fun.
Okay, go back to the House settlement. When you say total chaos, if she doesn't approve it, define total chaos.
No direction whatsoever. A lawless society. After everyone has spent 6 months preparing for a new world where athletes will share in the revenue. What's been happening is the revenue sharing that is expected to start in July creates basically a soft cap on what you can pay your players. For football, it's about $15 million a year. So what's happened in this spring is NIL collectives have been flooding the market with money so that the teams can secure these transfers before the cap is implemented. It's like this pre-cap, you know, buying craze, right? So transfers are getting way, in football and basketball, they're getting way more than they would because everybody's trying to get in under the cap. If there's no cap because the judge doesn't approve the settlement and they go back to square one, the market could continue to just soar. And so you're getting kids that are getting, you know, offensive linemen that are quality players are getting millions per year. Nobody knows what's going to happen if she doesn't approve it. And the reason that there's some skepticism is that the one thing the judge really asked the NCAA to do is to grandfather in this rule on the roster cuts so that walk-ons aren't just axed right now this spring. And the NCAA refused to do it. And they had their reasons, but that's the reason people think she may not approve, because they didn't do what she asked them to do. Yeah, very interesting.
John Wilner with us week in and week out. Find his content on the site. And, of course, you can find him through his social channels, Wilner Hotline. I'll see you next week. Thanks.
Thanks very much, Brad.
And we're back with more after this timeout. It is NFL Draft Week. The Draft Nick, Daniel Rios, is with us for a couple of minutes. Draft Nick is going to be with me at Harris Auction along with Brian Urlacher. Draft Nick's going to be on stage. He's going to be breaking down every pick. He is pumped. He is psyched. He is geeked. He is ready to go. He is the Draft Nick. I have to wonder right off the top, Daniel, about Jalen Milroe was invited to the NFL Draft. Okay, they only invite 18 guys. So unless he is part of the second round, this is a total TV production. Like, we have to have somebody there still to get fans excited. I'm like, what is going on here? There's no way he's going to go in the first round, or am I dead flat wrong?
I wouldn't. Honestly, Brad, I wouldn't say you're dead flat wrong. I was even shocked. I saw that invite, and I just, you look at it, and it's just like, you only expect guys who are for sure first rounders. Sure. Someone knows something. Someone gave the NFL some information. Milroe, everyone agrees that with the ball in his hand, he's an elite runner. He is one of the most talented runners in this class. Athleticism off the charts. He has an arm. But everything in between, like I've said before, is very, very shaky. I think someone late round one comes up and gets him. I don't think he'll make it past pick 40, I want to say. That's kind of where I'm kind of projecting. Someone's going to take a chance on intangibles. You see it every year. That was the whole reason Anthony Richardson went, number four overall a couple of years ago. His big arm, has a strong body. It's exactly what Milroe is. Maybe not the accuracy and all those things that Richardson kind of showed in that one year. But, Milroe, someone's going to take a chance. It just matters who and when.
Okay, so is he more Jalen Hurts or is he more Lamar Jackson from your view?
I'd say Lamar Jackson. They're both talented runners, and I think coming into the league this year, I don't think it's crazy to say that he may be the best runner at the position. Josh Allen had a historic year last year. Lamar Jackson is still one of the best runners at quarterback, but they're kind of getting up there in age, and Milroe's a fresh body coming in. I think the knock you see on him a lot is he's not some guy who just started playing quarterback a year ago. He's not an Anthony Richardson, 1 year starting. He's been playing quarterback for a while. He's been through multiple coaches, different systems. So that's where it's kind of hard for me to see him going in the first round is we haven't really seen him develop. We haven't really seen him take these steps. He's played a lot of snaps, and you haven't seen that progressional, that progression. So I don't know, but I would say he's more of a Lamar Jackson type.
So if we're talking quarterbacks, Jackson Dart taken before Shadur as we're sitting here on Monday, or is this just the typical line smokescreen season that someone's in love? Shadur's going out and doing the media stuff this week or doing meetings that the media's picked up on leading up to Thursday night. Who goes earlier, Dart or Shadur?
On my quarterback rankings, I have Shadur, but like we see every year, it just takes one team to like you.
Yep.
I think the Saints, if I were to make a prediction right now, I'd say they'd lean Dart. I think Dart is more of the body. He's has more of the intangibles that Kellen Moore likes in a quarterback. I kind of get reminded of a little bit of Dak Prescott when I watched him. So I would have to say Dart maybe goes earlier, maybe at 9 I've seen. 9 for Dart is crazy to me, but, quarterback is quarterback. People are going to take chances. The Steelers have been linked to Shadur a lot. We've heard Mike Tomlin likes him. So I would say my personal rankings are Shadur, but keep your eyes out for Jackson Dart at 9.
Okay, so let's just go through this then. Back to Anthony Richardson's side. If there are teams that are just in love with quarterbacks and there's a guy like Jentee who's sitting there as a running back and you could still get him rather than up high, 2 or 3, 4 picks back, I guess what I'm looking at is New Orleans. They'd have to trade up. So if you have to be able to trade up from that spot, there's no way they trade back unless it's, we can trade all the way back to pick number 33 and take Tyler Shuck on day 2 or take Jalen Milroe on day 2, and we're going to be just fine at quarterback. So I'm just wondering, are there teams that you look at out there and say their quarterback situation is fine, so they can trade up because they're still going to get the player that they want?
I think what we're going to see is – I think a lot of teams, I think you're going to see the run on quarterbacks, in my opinion, in the 20s. I think you're going to see a team like the Giants. They're going to make their pick at 3. It's going to be Carter, Travis Hunter, whoever they want. think you are going to see those teams trade up in the 20s. You know, the Vikings, they only have 4 picks this year. So I think that's a real team that you're going to get calls like, you know, New York. You're going to get calls like Cleveland. You're going to get calls like the Saints. Hey, we want to come up. We want to take Milrow. We want to take Dart. We want to take Shook, like you said. You know, late in that first round, I don't think necessarily it'll happen in the top half of the draft. I think we'll see the running quarterbacks in the back half.
So if they're the Cardinals, let's focus on them for a minute. They're 16. They only have 6 picks this year. And when you look at Arizona, there's no need for a quarterback. They've gone wide receiver with Harrison. They've gone in free agency and stocked up on the defensive line. It feels like this is another draft where, and I like how they're building myself. I like what's going on there. This feels to me like it's another offensive guard, offensive tackle. Let's build up on the lines. I don't see where there is a, and I know some mock drafts are saying they're going to take another wide receiver in the first round. That makes zero sense to me. What about you?
Yeah, I have my current mock right now. I have him taking Jahad Campbell out of Alabama. I think I was one of those people who are like defensive line, defensive line, defensive line. But you just look at their additions throughout free agency, and it you go draft a Derek Harmon, a Walter Nolan. How many reps are they realistically going to get? There are so many bodies in that room that it's hard for a rookie to kind of find their footing. So I think you look at the linebacker room; it does look a little weak. I think you get a player, but I think if 1 second here. Jahad Campbell is my ninth-ranked player in this draft. Absolutely talented backer, can cover the field, pass coverage, can rush the passer. I think it's interesting as well how you said guard. I think Gray Zabel at 16 would be a home run, you know, pick as well. He can play tackle, can play center, he can play every position. Strong. He only allowed a 1.6 pressure rate in college, which is crazy. So I think a lot of people have been saying defensive line. But I think they go and beef up that linebacker room. Or like you said, the trenches, Gray Zabel, Tyler Booker there at 16 wouldn't be bad picks either.
And I think that's a team that could trade back. That's a,
That, yeah.
yeah, it's a team you look at and say, you know, we'll trade back 5 picks because we're going to get our guy and we'll get an extra third. That's how you win in the draft. And Monty, in my opinion, has done that so far. He's done a very good job. Yeah, you're not going to hit on everybody, but I think in how they built it. Who's the player Thursday night, before I get you out of here, the player that you're looking forward to most Thursday night to see where they land? You're like, okay, Cam Ward, he's going to be the first pick in the draft, in all likelihood. But where is the one guy you're like, I love this kid, and this kid is going to, in the first round, I'm not going to ask you for round five or any of that.
For me, it has to be Derek Harmon, the defensive tackle out of Oregon. He is such a strong presence. He's 6'4", 313 pounds, and he led the FBS last year in pressures. And for be doing that from the inside, from the real trenches and lined up in the guard, getting those double teams and everything, that is crazy. He's a freak of an athlete. I just love him, and I can't wait to see where he goes. I debated ranking him above Mason Graham for defensive tackles this year. But he's my number two defensive tackle. I'm gonna love where he goes. My dream spot for him is Buffalo in the back half of the first round. I think he'd be a perfect fit there. Buffalo needs to beef up that defensive line, and I think he'd fit perfectly with what Sean McDermott's doing up there.
Do you have a buyer beware player?
That's a good question. Buyer beware. I would say. I know it's boring, but I'd have to go quarterback. I think Jackson Dart has a lot of. Yeah, I see where people are saying like, oh, he can go in the first round, and he has that upside. But I look at his processing, and it just scares me. I think it's just going to take a lot of time. And like we say every year, it depends where you land, and I'm just scared he's going to be a starter week one, and it's just not going to go well.
You've been taken by Cleveland where you're going to get killed.
Oh, dude, I would feel so bad because he has talent. I could see it. It's just got to give him a little bit of time. But you know how it goes. NFL fans screaming, we want the quarterback to play. It's gonna really depend where he goes. But man, it's rough to be a quarterback nowadays.
Good stuff there, Daniel the Draftnik. Daniel Rios. He is going to be with me at Herezok Chin, along with Brian Urlacher. We will all be there having a good time breaking down the draft, just having fun, giveaways, screwing around, doing what we do on draft night. It is a celebration of the NFL. Good stuff. I'll see you Thursday.
Thank you so much for having me. See you Thursday.
And we're back with more after this timeout.